Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller, and this is The Ziggler Show, where our goal is to inspire your true performance. In this episode, who has really helped you? I mean, recognizing who has helped you is vitally important as it fosters a reality of how valuable help is, how much you need it and benefit from it. Or what if you haven't received much positive help from others? How do you get it? Well, in this episode, we listened to a clip on this topic from Zig Ziglar on the dramatic influence of others investing in us and us in them. And then I posted this question to the Ziglar audience: name or tag someone who truly made a positive difference in your life, and please explain how they specifically helped you. Well, many, many responses, and Tom Ziglar and I talked through as many as we could and really expanded on the value and need of this issue in our lives. So we'll get started right after I share some great products and services with you.
A number of years ago, just outside of Boston, Massachusetts, there was a mental institution which for its day was well advanced. But even though this one was ahead of most in the country, they still had a dungeon downstairs where they put the ones for which there was no hope. They had a little girl named Annie, little Annie. And little Annie had those tremendous mood swings. One day she was kind and loving and gentle, and another day she became almost a little animal, and she was just absolutely impossible to predict. They had her down in the dungeon. There was an elderly nurse there who was nearing age of retirement, and for whatever reason, she started every day going down there and having her lunch just outside of the cage where little Annie was being housed. And she wouldn't necessarily talk to her. She might speak, might say a few things, but she was just there every day in her own way, commuting to her, "You are a human being. I do love you. I have an interest in you." One day she took some brownies and put them just inside, and little Annie ignored them. But the next day, she noticed that the brownies were gone. The next Thursday, she took some more brownies down, and the process goes on. Well, the doctors there noticed that there was improvement in little Annie. They decided they would move her up and put her in the treatment process.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Later, they pronounced her well. They said, "You can leave now. You're okay. You can function in society." But she said, "No, you know, this has meant so much to me. It has given my life back. I would like to stick around for at least a few years and pay back by doing some things for some other people." Many, many years later, when Helen Keller received England's highest recognition for a foreigner, Queen Victoria asked her, "To whom or what do you attribute your remarkable success in life with all of the handicaps, all of the things you've done?" Without any hesitation, Helen Keller said, "Had it not been for Anne Sullivan, little Annie, this would not have happened." In relationship building, you never know how far it's going to go.
Well, Tom, the message from your father, Zig, there about Helen Keller, of course, is tremendous. I think most people who have listened to this show or who have listened to or read from Zig, from you, know about his Wall of Fame, which I got to see in, man, whatever year that was. I'm thinking it might be 2012 or so, something like that, maybe. Maybe it wasn't that long ago, 2014. When did he pass away? What year?
2012. I think you came to the offices around 2010.
Maybe so. Okay, maybe yeah. So. And I saw that. It was different offices than what you guys have now, but you walk in and boom, right there on the left is the Wall of Fame. It's where we stopped first. I was with Chuck Bowen and Dave Munson, and we came to see you and your dad and saw that Wall of Fame. It was how many people were on there, listed on there?
The Wall of Gratitude, I think, has 26 or 28.
Okay. Obviously, just the powerful message of the people who made an impact in his life. And I've thought, I've never gone to that length. I should, but to think about the people who made an impact in my life. And some of those, you know, I asked that question here, and you hear a lot about long-term stuff. There were some people that had a significant impact in my life that was not a long-term, a long-term relationship necessarily. It wasn't a decade of time that they spent with me, walking with me. It might've been, a year, 3 years. There's some people who were just a part of my life for a relatively short period of time, made a big impact that I would put on that wall because they changed the trajectory of my life. I mean, that's one where I think if we take into account who has impacted us, that would be good. I didn't expound on that in the question here. But as we all think about this, that may be one of the best things that we can get out of this is to stop and think about who made a positive impact in my life. Though my concern with that, Tom, is that people will ask that question themselves and realize they have not had any. And that's a difficult place to be in. And you've seen people in that place. It's hard not to be sad and a bit bitter about that reality.
Yeah. I look at my own life and gosh, there were people who had a profound impact in my life. Maybe even just for a moment.
Yeah.
Right. Just that one idea, that one thought. I think one of the things that Dad did that was different is he created a gratitude list and started thinking of all the people who made an impact in his life. And that's how the Wall of Gratitude really, really kicked off. And that was like the big thing. He recommended everybody to do that. I always smile when I say it, but he would say, yeah, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, it had help.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
And that's where that comes from. Something else that's interesting is a lot of times when we're getting the help, we don't even realize it. And sometimes like Dad later in his life, he would talk about the Wall of Gratitude when people would come in, and then he would say, and I didn't even like two of those people up there.
but keep that in mind, because one of the ones we're going to get to, probably not along those lines, but that's one where I'm sure somebody had a positive impact, even though it wasn't his favorite person. But we have a really harsh look at that aspect here coming up. Let's just dive into some. It'll bring up, I think, some good points. Marty Miller Creed. Well, that Miller in there is, that's my aunt. And nice. She said, my sister Olive is who had the biggest impact on her, which is interesting because my guess is her sister Olive, my aunt Olive, boy, she's been passed away for 20 years or more. I think this is a long time ago. But Marty says, she was my mentor, a beautiful example of a godly woman. Even when battling cancer, she encouraged others and always pointed them to Christ. She shared her life. And I ask, how specifically did she mentor you? She shared her life experiences with me so I could learn from her. She provided guidance, motivation, and most of all, unconditional love. That's a family member. How many people have a spouse or a family member? And again, I'm afraid there's a lot that don't, but some that do, but sharing life. And we hear that, Tom, I hear that especially in relation to parents, the value of when the parent, I think, authentically and with humility shares their life with their child, the power of that. I got to see that. I was an only child for the first 7 years of my life. And then even as time went on, you know, so even into my tens and beyond, my brothers and sisters were very young. So I still got my parents' adult attention more. They were so, one of my biggest places of gratitude with them is they let me be privy to their conversations, with other adults. But even, you know, my mom and dad, just the issues that they were going through. And I was well aware of the successes and the trials. I knew when finances were bad. I knew when they had to sell stuff, whether it was a house or a car or whatever, just to not go bankrupt. I knew that. And then I knew when things were well, and they shared those. I remember mom crying, you know, when this was hard. I remember dad being stressed and being working along. And I'm so grateful they did not shield me from that, that they shared their life experience. It made trial and risk and things like that for me. I've always said I got faith handed to me on a silver platter. And so it was no big deal to go out and try something and fail. We talk about that so long, but most of us have never witnessed that, or our parents either didn't try much or they shielded us from us, thought they were doing good. I've taken that into my life to where, I mean, my kids know what's going on, and for better and worse, but I think mostly it's for better, sharing the life experience. And I know you get to do that not only with your family, Tom, but with a lot of people, the folks that you coach, consult, speak to, and that probably teaches as much as our message, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. I was I'm working with a couple in legacy coaching right now, and the man is very, very successful, and so we were just kind of digging in. It was one of the first sessions that we had, and I said, well, you know, what is it that gives you this grit, this resiliency? Because that's a family word they've claimed is resilience, you know. And he said, well, when I was growing up, he said, my dad's just been a fantastic role model and business owner, and he came across a really hard time and some things went against him, and they ended up basically having to start over. And he says they are packing up the house. They've sold the house. They've got one car left. They're moving out. And he says something like, Dad, what are we going to do now? And he said, my dad looked at me and he said, son, this is what I know. There are trillions of dollars of business out there, and we've just got to go get a little piece of that. We're going to be okay. And it shaped his whole life. Yeah. It's like, regardless of the obstacle or the situation, he knows that if he is resilient, if he's got the grit, right, if he just keeps that thing. And to me, that's like a turning point moment.
Yeah.
For anybody in a family, because life is real and it's not all, you know, great stuff happening all the time. And his dad could have sent any message at that point.
Yeah.
Right. But that was the one that he sent, and that's what shaped that family. Just an amazing story.
Well, and I think that obviously it matters what your spirit is along with that. And that's what influenced me the most, I think, is even I got to see these hardships going, and not that it didn't stress them out. They weren't Pollyanna or just, you know, on the rock of faith the whole time. But at the end of the day, we're going to have dinner. We're going to sit down. They're going to ask me about my day at school. And we're going to play a game, watch TV or whatever, and get up the next morning and go out in expectation that things will get better. And so it didn't stress things. I'll never forget my sophomore year in high school. My mom took me out shopping. We shopped for clothes, school clothes, and went up to the counter, though, and I paid for them. They didn't have the money at that point. They had just about lost everything, but they had taught me to work. So I was working. I had money. And I remember that. I think I was probably a little irritated by it. You know, life goes on, and again, it gave me that faith that risk and failure is not a big deal. It's just how we figure things out. And of course, I saw their future successes after that. Terry Johnson here, he says, my friend PJ Byrne, and it is neat. A lot of people did literally take this as a chance to do the exercise and tag people. He said, such a great mentor, and he shares all of his business successes, the processes, everything, as well as his failures with me as part of my learning. He lives the giver's gain philosophy. There again, somebody sharing the process to think about, what are we doing? Can we share it with our, do we share it with our spouse? Do we share it with our kids? Is there somebody we can share it with who's a peer, or even somebody who's, you know, younger than us, that would benefit from just the sharing? I mean, that's not some massive teaching. That's not saying, hey, I have a message and a platform and something I've proven to stand on. That's just to say, hey, I'm willing to let you be privy to my journey and benefit from it with what you will. I think, I wonder if sometimes we discount ourselves because we think, man, I can't go out and share somebody, I can't benefit somebody until I have knocked it out of the park. And I'm sure you have been influenced and seen a lot of people, you know, Tom, like I have, who are just sharing their journey. And the benefit of that for all of us is so tremendous to see somebody else trying to, it gives us permission, if nothing else.
Absolutely. You know, when people, when you talk about authenticity and a leader and influence, you know, the thing that always comes across is transparency. When somebody is willing to be vulnerable, that's when that human bond is formed. That's when that influence is maximized.
Yeah.
That's when all the things that really make great relationships start to happen, is when that authentic, transparent vulnerability. And that's the problem that we see all day, because all we see is the mask, right? You go on social media, you see the mask. You go on TV, you see the mask. And I think people are very, very good now at detecting masks. Mm-hmm. And they're very good at putting on their own mask. But when people start pointing out their mentors, the people who made a life change in them, I think that's one of the things that you'll see often, is that authentic kind of transparent relationship that they had.
Absolutely. Here's one short one. Thomas Lenski, he says, you do. He's talking to me. He says, who's influenced you? He says, you do. You take the time to listen to me, ask me a couple of questions, and then responded. So here's a guy who is often responds to the Facebook questions that I post for these Q&A shows. And he a couple times private messaged me. And I mean, granted, like you, Tom, I mean, anybody who's got an audience, you get a lot of people who respond, but it's not generally from a personal question. It's not, you get a lot of inquiries. You know, I get more inquiries to be on the show from people than anything. Much fewer do I get an actual question. Hey, what do you think about this? And so Thomas did, and I took a little, I appreciate that. I'm humbled by that, because it wasn't a big time commitment for me, but I did respond and hope that I could help. One thing, as people here talk about during this thread that we're going to read about mentors, and we talk about just, well, we could mention that now, just the reality that if you want people who can invest in your life, a mentor, like some of these people are talking about, to just go ask. I think we look at people, especially people who are successful, and think, man, who am I to go ask for any of their time? I'm sure they're busy. You know, I'm not in their peer group, and they're so far above me, and yada, yada. And that's what most people think. And therefore, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of prospective mentors who do not have people asking them, not for their advice, not for their time. And that was another thing I learned from my dad, because he was pretty shameless, and he would just ask somebody, hey, can I just have a minute of your time? Can I buy you coffee? Can I buy you lunch? He would always make a point of that. Not, hey, can we go to coffee and I hope you'll pick it up? He said, no, I want to buy you. It's an investment. The least I can do is that. And he would do that. And he has people, of course, do that with him today. It's one of the things he eats out, I think, probably 4 or 5 days a week for people doing this. Ask.
Absolutely. You know, Kevin, here's a tip. In the book Born to Win, there's a whole section in there about picking a mentor. And a couple of notes there. Number one, to find the right mentor, you have to be the right mentee. And the key there is when you start having that relationship and your mentor says, hey, you should try this or you should try that. The next time you're with them, you got to report back. This is what happened. This is what I did. Right. And the second one, I learned this, this isn't in the book, but a friend of ours, Paul Barras, in the UK, I was with him a few years ago. Alexandra was with me, and this guy is well connected. I mean, he knows the who's who list. And we were having lunch, and I said, "Hey, my daughter is going to college. What would you recommend for her as far as career and following her passion?" And this is what he said. So everybody's listening. This was his words. "Whatever your passion is, find out who number one in that industry is and call them." Hmm. "Because if they hear a sincere, I'm passionate about that too." And you might have to be relentless. You might have to be creative. But people who are passionate about something, they love having discussions with other people who are passionate about the same thing.
Yep.
And so a lot of times we miss opportunities every day. The wisdom's right in front of us, and we're just not asking the questions.
There's ask. Can't go wrong by asking. Kent Buer, I'm not sure he has to say the last name. "My biggest encourager is without a doubt my wife of 29 years. She listens and gives tremendous advice on dealing with issues that I'm not sure how to handle. She allows me to vent when needed and cry when needed and sets me straight when needed, all without judgment. Second are my See You at the Top cassettes," which dates that guy. He's still got the cassettes.
I love it.
"I wouldn't have anything to play him in anymore. But he says, I heard things I've never heard before from anyone. Zig is my daily mentor." Man, a couple relevant points there. I want to go back to him talking about his wife, but right there, "Zig is my daily mentor." Obviously, the opportunity to have a face-to-face in your town, across the table, in the flesh mentor is tremendous. And I'm not, there's not a substitute for that, period. But my goodness, that is the benefit that we have these days to have through podcasts. I mean, back then at the height of See You at the Top cassettes, that's what you had. You had to order something. There wasn't a whole lot to listen to in personal development without that. Today, of course, we can listen to no end of it day in and day out, 24 hours a day, nonstop. But to have that consistent voice like people had with Zig, that is mentorship. Absolutely. And I don't want to discount that even in the face of obviously the power of having it in the flesh. Tom, I know you have both and you benefit from both.
Yeah. And, you know, some of that is mindset. You could say, oh, you know, I'm going to listen to that podcast or I'm going to read that book or I'm going to listen to that audio program. And it's just another thing to do. What I've noticed is that when I talk to people who have been very successful, not just from a financial perspective, but just in life in general. And they say something like, hey, your dad had an impact on me. And then they'll have like this term of endearment. Mm. And they'll say, yeah, he's like my wise uncle or mm-hmm. my grandfather.
Yeah.
In other words, their mindset was, there's something good here. I'm going to listen. It wasn't for entertainment. It wasn't to perform at the next level. It was, there's some good stuff here. And so their mindset was, I'm going to listen to or read or get engaged with this for that reason.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's just a huge difference.
It is. You know, what's interesting too, Tom, that Zig had the benefit from maybe more. I hadn't thought about it tonight, but maybe more so now. We know the value that we put into something when we have invested more. That when we go to the seminar, sometimes the benefit of going to the seminar or hiring a coach or a consultant and paying a pretty penny and investing time and money is now we take it with more gravity. We value it more. So back then when people were listening to those tapes, I mean, back 20 years ago, See You at the Top cassettes. Gosh, is that 20 years ago? Does that have to be further than that? 30 years ago?
Probably 30.
Was it? What do they cost?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, they were like probably people would pay $150, $200.
And take inflation.
25 years ago.
Yeah, take inflation. What is that now? Double that? I don't.
At least. If it's 21 years ago, it'd be three times that.
Okay.
If we were investing it. So
a few hundred bucks. The value that we put there and the gosh, the intensity that we would put on that, listening to that, getting value, that is something we don't benefit from as much today. I mean, this podcast, you don't have to pay for any. You can go listen to any number. You don't pay for it. And it probably does not lend itself to giving it as much focus. Again, that word gravity and value in your life. So, you know, we're going to have to do that on our own, but that is the benefit back then from the paying for it. It's a benefit today from hiring a coach, a consultant, going to a seminar, is just by proxy, we tend to value it more because of that investment. You are listening to The Ziglar Show and our talk on who made a positive difference in your life. Next, I read a comment from one of the guys on my own wall of gratitude. So we'll jump right back in after I share some great products and services with you. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin, airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin. When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet. It's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a 5-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state, while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer. Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. YahooFinance.com. Well, here, Todd Zeller. And Todd is actually on my wall. Tom. He is, but he actually pointed out somebody else who is also on my wall. It's a mutual friend, Scott Stearman. And you've met Scott before. Scott is a renowned sculptor all around the country in military facilities and a lot of faith-based facilities at universities and whatnot. You will find life-size or bigger Scott Stearman bronze sculptures. So this is a guy who shares his message in a form that is like no other and will last forever. But Todd said, Scott Stearman was and is a big encourager slash mentor in my life. He sees the good in me every time we talk. I want to be more like him. And that was followed up by somebody else, you know, and I mentioned a minute ago, Tom, Chuck Bowen.
Right.
He said, I echo you, Todd. Scott is an amazing encourager and role model. Chuck is he was a renowned coach. He's since gone on to some other business, but he's also on my list. Chuck is as encouraged. So there's three of them right there. But I'll tell you, the testimony is to Scott Stearman is his father was one of the biggest encouragers on planet Earth. And, you know, I'm grateful for the remote mentorship I got from your dad, from Zig Ziglar. I'm grateful for the blessed couple days I got to spend with you guys before he passed away. But Scott's dad, Sam, was somebody who there was a few years of life where he was in and out of my life. I'll never forget him sitting in my unfinished home as we were building it, looking around and going, Kevin, look what you have done. This is Sam, Scott's dad. And then, but throughout the entirety of building that home in my life, Scott has been there to say the same thing. Look what you have done. And that is a legacy that he has continued to share, just like you are from your dad. I hope that I give some of that type of legacy to my children as well. But Scott is he's paying it forward, we'll say. And there's the testimony right there.
You know, you said the word legacy and it just popped into my mind. The definition that I'm using now for legacy is preparing those you love to grow through life's most difficult challenges. Mm. And I think that is, when I would hear dad talk about his wall of gratitude, or when I hear somebody talking about somebody who meant a lot in their life, it was the growing through the challenge that was kind of that turning point, right? It was, we're most open to hear when we have to hear.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how we have that choice to hear. And what I really like about legacy is we can choose to be there when people are ready to hear.
Gosh,
yeah. And some of the greatest mentors, they have that gift. They just know when to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. And God divinely does that. You know, I failed to go back. I said I would to Kent. He talked about the See You at the Top cassettes, and we went off on that tangent, but he had mentioned his wife and how powerful she was in his life. On that note, here's another one. Then I want to talk about that. Don Peterson, he says, my wife Hazel passed. She died at the end of April 2019, which as of this recording is less than a year ago. She was the best thing that ever happened to me. I saw her live her Christian life in the midst of so much trial and pain. And today, while she's passed, I don't live my life asking what she would do. I already know what she would do. Sure, life is harder now without her, and the grief is just so real, but the honest truth is that I am so thankful and blessed every day from the presence she had in my life and the love she gave me without thought of return. So two guys there testifying to their wives, but we can just say two people testifying to their spouses. So this is show 754. In show 753, I interviewed Stephen and Mara Klemick and about their book, Above the Line, Living and Leading with Their Heart, and about heart styles. But in show following this one, 755, will be the habits show that I walked through with them. And in the relationship spoke, Tom, they talked about the benefit that they've had by being able to be each other's coaches to a point, which, as you know, is not what a lot of people have in their relationship. And I can candidly say that's not always been the case in my own, with my own wife. You have to be at a place of vulnerability, of acceptance, of security with each other to be able to be each other's coach to a degree. And so they talked about the benefit of that in that show 75 coming up. But right here in this, here we're talking about two people testifying to that. That is a, you've been involved in your own marriage, of course, Tom, but in a lot of other marriages, from your dad, Zig, and his wife, your mom. But you've seen so many from really influential people, people who are at the top of success, you know, maybe as the world defines it, but you know the true story, and you have seen this play out. You could probably, you know, write a tell-all by the people that you have been witness to, privy to, who have achieved some big things out there, but they have or have not.
Wow. You know, that was a big thing with mom and dad. Dad always, he made it a huge point to let everybody know that mom was his number one account. I mean, there was no doubt. And then of course, mom, oh my goodness. She did all these little things that nobody ever saw for dad. And they knew that they were a team all the time. And dad was notorious for his airport calls, for checking in, for all those little things. And yet I see people out there who they just don't have that closeness. You know, they don't have what dad called it, the home court advantage. Right. And if in sports, you know, for whatever reason, teams that are evenly matched, the team that's playing at home is going to win, right? Yeah. Because they've got that home court advantage, and it's such a powerful thing to have. And I feel sorry for people who don't have that. It's such a big deal. And it's, you know, and for whatever reason, when you see these testimonies on here, it gives me hope, because you don't hear that, right? That's not like the news or the public story of the day about right. how two people, you know, go through life and they depend on each other and they become, you know, I love that idea, best friends and coaches. I love that.
Yeah, that's significant. All right, well, here's a good one. Victoria Warner, she says, Marianne Young, she tagged her, agreed to be my mentor, holds me accountable, checks in with me, expects me to be a better person, and models honor and integrity. She also encourages me and points me to God in everything. I love that, expects me to be a better person. I mean, that's a little bit of a slippery slope, Tom, because I love that aspect of somebody who would see in me and say, in essence, man, Kevin, you know, you're great. I think you're capable of even more. I see you. I understand you. I've experienced in you. And I think you can achieve even more. That's great. And that's the positive side. That's what Victoria, I think, is attesting to, somebody who believes in us and that we can be even more than we see. That's awesome. Though, obviously, that can get diluted on the other side if it's the parent, I think, is where I think about it most, who just says, look, you can do better than that. And it comes, and that's harsh. It may be from a similar heart, but I think a lot of people have probably been harmed by that. You can do better. That's not good. You could be so much more. And it's a minimizing statement as opposed to a maximizing statement. So that term expectations is a dangerous one, I think. But when we can, I mean, you get my point, Tom, and I don't even know, I'm obviously stumbling over it a little bit. I don't know what the definition is between it coming off sounding minimizing, meaning you're not enough now. You're not doing well enough now. It's not that. You're awesome now. And you can, I believe, even more. I see even more in you. And Zig, your dad, was a master of that. I don't know if we just say it was a heart aspect. It was how do you weave encouragement in there? So it starts off from an encouraging standpoint and says, I think you could be lifted up even higher.
You know, I read a book, I think it was called How Full Is Your Bucket? And it talks about how we need 3 to 5 positive things said about us in order to equal 1 negative thing. And then they did this study on, you know, happy marriages. And what they found is they did this little assessment where each partner in the marriage would rate themselves on certain character mm-hmm. qualities or attributes, like on a scale of 1 to 10. And then they would rate their partner. And the happy marriages, both partners rated the other person higher than that person rated themselves.
Wow.
And so it's that ability to not only raise the standard, but to see the best, to see the potential, and then encourage that. And that's a little bit, you know, my mission statement is to create the atmosphere that allows you to become the person that God created you to become. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is a mentor. It's like they, if they're, you know, a great mentor, they see the person God created you to become. They don't see who you are today. They see the potential of who you can become. And they're almost like that, you know, that attaboy, that coach, that cheerleader, saying, hey, you can do it. You can do it. But they're also there for you, without the condemnation and the judgment when you mess up,
yeah.
When you say, hey, I didn't hit that. Hey, that's okay. You know, we try again, we start over.
Well, it's an issue that's of interest to me because obviously I want to be for my kids, the one who validates where they are now, but then also communicates that they're capable of more. I see more, which I literally do. And of course, I think there's people in my life that see that for me too, to be that encourager to you could achieve even more. You have even more within you. Well, here's another one. This is a sweet one. Trey Ryder. He says, some of the people that have made a positive impact in my life are my father, Everett Ryder, for supporting me in all my ventures throughout life, the military, and creating my coaching business or seminar. Right there, a father who encouraged everything he did is not, unfortunately, I don't know if that's the most common experience people have had, but how powerful. My sister, Carol Ryder, for being my sounding board and being like a mother and sister and best friend. My wife, Randy, for following me all around the world and putting her life on hold while raising our children. And the last person I want to mention is Scott Anthony for being a coach, mentor, and friend to me. He shows me that anything is possible if you apply yourself and quit coming up with excuses why you can't do something. And then he made a secondary response. He says, Kevin, this what's even better is just taking a moment to recognize the people that we mentioned. We often get caught up in the daily tasks and forget the simple words of thank you. So Kevin, thank you for allowing us to use your platform to bring this up. Man, my honor. And I got to say candidly that my intent was to do my own tagging and I just didn't get around to it yet. And I still want to do that. I want to take this opportunity to reach out, to make a list and just to reach out and say, man, you have meant something to me. And here is why. I know right now behind me on a wall, I've got a picture and in the corner of it, I have a little postcard from a dear long-term friend of mine. And out of the blue, I don't know what prompted him. Maybe he heard a show like this once and I just got a letter from him and he just said what the value I had brought to his life. And he named a specific instance and how it led them to move to a different place and pursue a different path in life that he's grateful for. And he gave me credit for that. It's sitting on my wall because it meant so much to me that I had that much meaning in somebody's life. And I'm thinking how many people out there that I probably thanked you, Tom, for different things. But have I really told you the value that you have in my life? And the answer is no, not to the degree that I experience it. And I am not a natural encourager. I don't think to talk. I think these beautiful thoughts and I don't put them out there. So to make the exercise, it's like goal planning, to actually put it on paper and to put it out there. Though in this case, what a gift to somebody else. Tara, she says, Tara Netson, she says, Marcy Tucker helped me take the steps needed to get out of a very bad situation. Advocates like her are absolutely priceless. Michelle Spencer, who is a friend who will drop anything when needed and understands the emotional trauma I dealt with. And most of all, Lance Knutson, who will hold my hand and have my back as we go through anything. You know, some of these, Tom, just, I think is going to point to, I think my concern is this, as people hear this, it sounds great. And realizing if they don't have that, hopefully if you do have some of these relationships, it's confirming and you can reach out to those people, tell them what a value they are in your life. We can strive to be that in other people's lives. But as you know, we're in this culture right now and we say it over and over. It's gotten to be pretty pithy, but it is every day growing in a negative way of, we're all more connected-ish but we have less intimate relationships. And these types of testimonies, I'm afraid, are getting less and less as we are not involved in people's lives face to face, hand to hand, back to back as much. Matter of fact, gosh, it's your buddy and my friend, Howard Partridge, who wrote the book. What was the title? Community?
The Power of Community.
The Power of Community. And in essence, my take on it, Tom, was just in the same aspect that I talk about exercise. So exercise, I believe highly in. I think it's unfortunate. It's kind of a stupid, artificial necessity in today's day and age, because a couple hundred years ago, and for the span of time before that, life was exercise. Well, now we just happen to be in a place where we don't have to have exercise, physical exertion, to survive. We can sit at a desk like you and I are right now and look into a screen and make our revenue and then go buy whatever we need or have it delivered, even more so today. You don't have to move a muscle. So we have to artificially put in exercise. And to some aspect, Howard talked about that in the book. And folks, if you type in Howard Partridge, The Ziglar Show, it may be the last interview I did with him, but it was the Power of Community. And he talks a bit about that, about how we used to rely on community. We had to have community because we couldn't do everything. And so I think about my grandparents, and they went and got milk over here, and they got this need over there, and the hardware store over there, and the thing to take care of the horse over here. And they then also provided things, crops that they were doing that other people weren't doing. And it was necessary. Everybody had to do their part. Otherwise, they couldn't really exist. Today, again, we don't need that to survive. Now, to flourish, absolutely. And that's what we're talking about. But to survive, we don't need that. And so I realized with my life, I don't have to go out there and interact. I can take care of it by myself and my phone and, you know, my computer and whatever, and have everything done. If I'm going to have relationships, I have to do that proactively. So every Friday, used to be Thursday morning, but every Friday morning now, but it's been for years, I go meet with a group of guys. Now I'm doing that on a Monday morning with a bigger group of guys, Christian business guys. And I'm doing this, I don't have to, but I do it to show up because I know the value of those relationships. And I would say that the necessity of those relationships if I want to flourish. So today I don't need them to survive.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
But I need them to flourish. Tom?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those choices. You know, every single day we get up and we make choices. We choose to brush our teeth. We choose, hopefully, to get dressed. We choose to go to work. And then when it comes to our own soul, right, the wellness of our soul, a lot of times we say, well, maybe tomorrow, well, maybe tomorrow, well, maybe tomorrow. And, you know, Bob Bodine's written extensively about this, the power of who. And he talks about, you know, friendship, which, you know, I can see that, you know, there's a lot of mentor type difference making comments that we've been going through. But I can also see the friendship that's in there, right? I mean, it's like something like, I think the study was like 70% of men who made a catastrophic moral failure said that they wouldn't have done it if they'd had one true friend to talk to about it, right? So the quality of our choices, the big life choices that get people in trouble, if we get it wrong, would be enhanced dramatically if we had one true friend who just wanted the best for us, who we could share our heart with. And that's what a great mentor does. And, you know, and there's different levels of that. And what I'm talking about is that, that deepest level that says, hey, I know you. Mm-hmm. And like Bob Bodine says, a true friend is someone who can play the words to the song of your heart when you forget those words.
Wow.
Right. They can say them back to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the couple of people who mentioned their spouse, their wife, that's what they were talking about. Hey, I know this person so well that when I'm totally down and out, they could repeat back the words of my heart so I could remember.
That is beautiful. And that, you know, I do want to make a point out of that, that there are some people, and you hear about them, especially people of influence, and they have a lot of relationships. Now, the depth of those, we don't know. And I would say myself, I have an incredible amount, as you do, Tom, an incredible, blessed amount of acquaintances, of people that I could call friends, people that I can call or I could text for, or email for, you know, some counsel or ask a question or whatnot. They don't know my song. They don't know me. The people that know that are far fewer. And I'm a person that I'm probably going to veer on the lesser side, lesser and deeper. I mean, my, you know, outside of my wife, my best friend, Randy James, Dr. Randy James, as you know, we work in the same office. He's on the other side. I can hear him talking to a patient right now. And we have lunch probably average 4 days a week. 12 o'clock hits. And he, like today, he walked over and said, hey, you got time? I said, yeah, absolutely. And grab lunch. We actually go into his office where the sun's shining and we sit on the floor. I don't know why there's chairs around, but we like to sit on the floor and we have lunch and we may talk about a business thing, but more often than not, we end up talking about our families. Right now, we're talking about our kids. We've both got middle school boys and we're concerned about different things in their lives. And that's been the topic for a lot of days here. And we go deep. I get to spend time with you almost every week. We do these calls just about every week at this point, but we've also outside of that just been walking together for many years. I feel that what you mentioned before, if it was 2010, was that really when I was there? It doesn't seem like on one hand, it doesn't seem like a decade. And on the other hand, it seems like such a long time. But just speaking back to the investment and like what you said, it brought to mind that when you said, even if it's one person, one deep relationship can be the saving grace. So to people out there who it feels overwhelming just to hear what you said, Tom, even if it's just one, even better if it's two or three or four, but even if it's just one, the value is it's priceless. All right. I got one. Well, there's a bunch more. Thank you all for sharing here, but this has been so rich. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I do want to mention this one because it's fun. Dion Uy. So Dion is a Ziglar listener. Been listening to the show. He lives in Malaysia. Let me read his real quick. He said, and I'm not sure if I'll get the name right, Ravinthar Raman, my mentor, my friend, my brother in Christ, who has inspired me to be the best of me and encouraging me to strive for excellence unto God Almighty. I'm blessed to have known him. So Dion contacted me, I don't know how many months ago, and he said, we have an event that's happening here in Malaysia, and we want you to come and be the keynote speaker. And I was so grateful. At first, I wasn't even sure. You get a lot of inquiries. Is this legit? He works with in Malaysia, Penang Island, and they have the Penang Skills Development Center. But what I have seen by becoming Facebook friends with Dion and now talking with him is he seems to be a people person. He is an encourager. And all of his posts are a lot of them about just enjoying life. He is a coffee lover. Half his posts are just about coffee. He's enjoying somewhere with somebody, his family, but they do business together. And he is part of this group. It's not his primary gig, his primary vocation, but the Penang Skills Development Center. And it's just about developing people in this area. This event that they are flying me and some other speakers into is just to invest in their local community. This is not some international event. It's only going to be for 150 of the leaders in that area. And he is so bent on relationships. It seems it's just been a sweet testimony. I can't wait to meet him more. We've done a Zoom call now together. But it doesn't surprise me in the least that he has people that are mentoring his life, because it looks like he's the kind of guy who invests in others and sees the intrinsic value in these relationships. And Tom, I know you have a unique place. You have your entire life of seeing the value of encouragement from your, you know, from your dad and the people he has influenced, but also that you got to see that he was just a product of all the people who took the time to influence him. And, you know, on this, I mean, at the end of the day here, Tom, the end of this show, the question is, who can we be that for, and how can we find that in our lives? You know what? I'll just leave you with that question too, with the people who are sitting there struggling with, gosh, I get it, but you know, who do I get? Because it feels selfish. Who am I going to go out and ask to invest in me? That can feel daunting and feel overwhelming right there. And what would you say to help alleviate that overwhelming perspective?
Yeah, I would do two things. The first thing I would do is, you know, just take a look at your friends. Take a look at your friends, and most of us, we have at least a few friends in our life, you know, that we can look and say, you know what, if I spent more time with them, life would be better. And so claim them, tell them that they are your friend. You love them, right? That you enjoy the time, that you appreciate what they've done. Bob Bodine's book, we already mentioned, he's been on the podcast a number of times, The Power Who, will give you some guidance there. And then secondly, kind of look into the future and say, who's the person I want to become? What is it in my life that I want to take to the next level? And then in your circle, it doesn't have to be, somebody that you know or can connect to, who's known in that area that you already know, hey, that's a person of integrity. That's the key. The first thing in a mentor relationship is they've got to have the foundational character qualities, you know, cold stone. I mean, just foundationally, they are solid. And then they also have something that will help you become the person that God created you to become. And reach out to them.
Yeah.
It's the cup of coffee. It's, can I come by? And we talk about the process in the Born to Win book, but literally, if you've never had a relationship with them, if they don't even really know you, that first meeting is just 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? It's just 15 minutes. You can buy them coffee. You can go to their office. You can meet on wherever they say and just say, hey, I'm looking to grow. And I respect who you are and what you've done. And gosh, here's kind of what I would like to become someday. What advice do you have? Mm-hmm. And just limit it to about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And even if it starts getting great, just honor their time and say, hey, the 15 minutes is up. I'm going to take what you said. I'm going to apply it. It's okay if I get back to you and fill you in.
Yeah.
Right. And then when that happens, when you set that second, you fill them in on what you did with it. I tell you what, people are shocked when somebody calls them back and says, hey, remember when we talked, you said I should do this? I did it. Here's what happened.
Yep.
They will pour into you.
Yep. So back to that ask, what we talked about earlier. Ask and often ye shall receive. There you go. Tom, brother, thank you. Always a gift. And thank you for being on my wall of gratitude. Okay, friends, so who has helped you in your life? Might be a great time to let them know again, or for the first time, maybe. And then who are you helping? And if you need help, how can you take now, right now, a step towards getting some help from other people? Whose wall of gratitude are you going to be on? Great questions to think about and ponder and take action on. And thank you, as always, to everyone who shared their experience on Facebook by responding to my question. Well, coming up in episode 755, Divide your time between I, we, and us. This is the Habits Show with Stephen and Mara Klemek. Your time, especially your personal time, has three components. The time you give to I, yourself, is vitally necessary. We time would be working together or parenting or the duties of life, even social engagements. Us time is then the intentional focus time on an intimate relationship, like date night, for instance. Well, this highlights the relationship spoke on the Ziglar Wheel of Life as I went through it for our Habits Show with, again, Stephen and Mara Klemek. They were my guests in show 753, where we talked about the four principles of behavior that rule our lives. Well, this is my first time going through the Habits Show with a couple, and it was really valuable to hear how they make room to accommodate differing habits to cater to their differing personalities. We also discussed Mara's three bouts with cancer, the challenge of living up to their own message together, and the reality that these authors and speakers are, as they say, dreadful introverts. I think you'll really enjoy and get a lot of value from auditing this couple's healthy habits for success. Till then, folks, thank you as always for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.